We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah. Nick Dab, baby. We the new label.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Now this the black sheep sticking it to him. I need a crib like I'm Gatsby.
I need it
in hand, just understand my pocket's that deep. With nothing to prove, I ain't got nothing to do. And I can't compete and I got nothing to lose. You see, they told me I'm the one that's gonna benefit. Never been a threat.
Yes, what's good, everybody? Welcome back to Veterans Minimum, the number one sports betting vibe on the internet. I'm your host, Nick Dayes. At Nick Dayes 10, as you can find me, all things Veterans Minimum or at Veterans Minimum. In Sticky Paw Studios, to my right,
the
gray
guy.
Gray jersey, gray beard,
Thank you. Better guy,
George Carmona in the building. George, we got a packed episode.
We do.
A lot of fun stuff, a lot of great things to discuss.
Yep.
Before we get to the People's Podcast, I don't know what installment of this is, but it's basically fan questions, mailbag, all that stuff, but I just call it the People's Podcast. But we'll start with NFL win totals.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something you need while you're here?
Yeah. He needs puffy slippers.
Need puffy slippers.
Good.
I'm not going to promote myself on your show, Nick.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nick. Thank you, Nick. Love you, Nick.
You're good, man.
I'll see you tomorrow.
That's Austin. Fun fact, I submitted Austin 18 times in a five-minute roll.
Because
it was his first time back from not training jiu-jitsu.
I was a crippled. How does that make you feel? I was in a car accident. I was out for 6 months. I come back and you're like, he was counting as if like I was like a black belt.
Everybody can get it, bro. You step on the mats, everybody's going to get it. Black belt, orange belt, green belt, male, grandmother, doesn't matter. You're going to get worked, bro. I've been feeling myself lately. I need to get heel hooked by one of my guys at the gym. So shout out to everyone at Shap Bros, BJJ. All right, let's get back to the show, though. NFL win totals are out.
Yes.
It's something that I always talk about, George, how it's a great, great number to look at to understand the expectations for your team.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are, if you have a 6.5 win total, like my football team does, don't expect too much.
Right.
If you have a 10.5 win total,
you should be Super Bowl or bust. It's almost like playoffs or bust or Super Bowl or bust.
Right, right. The higher you go up.
Right.
Yeah, but I will say that over the last couple of years, there's been a couple of teams in the preseason that have had 10.5 win totals or higher that have gone way under. There's been injuries.
Mm-hmm.
There's been just the schedule is a lot tougher than you expect. There's a lot of things that go into that. But right now, I'm going to read off the 2024 win totals for the teams. And then we'll discuss them more.
Beautiful.
But for now, off the top of your head, who do you think should be the highest win totals in the league? There's three teams.
It should be Niners, Ravens, Lions.
Two out of three. The Chiefs, bro.
Oh, my God. I'm just so in like, and I love the
you
Lions.
You just have
mindset.
A boner. You can hear it banging on the, for, even though we don't have the table.
For
here,
fucking DC, dude.
Yeah.
Dan Campbell and I. Wow.
You love it. You love it. But yeah, you were close.
He should be the highest win total.
Two out of three.
Yeah.
Then we have 10.5 wins. We have the Eagles, Dolphins, Packers, George's Detroit Lions, the Dallas Cowboys, the Cincinnati Bengals, Buffalo Bills, And this one shocked me at first. And this is one of the questions that we're going to have. So as we're talking about them,
we can kind of chime in. Right?
The Atlanta Falcons have a 10.5 win total. First glance, I'm like, that's hysterical.
Right.
Upon further review, kind of think it's right.
Is it because this is a, you now have Kirk Cousins, a quarterback that's worth a shit, and a division that is riddled with piss poor effort and gameplay? Like, you really can win the NFC South with 8 wins every year. And so it's not out of the realm of possibility for them to get 10. And you got Bijan and his sophomore year, which is, he should be, what, an MVP candidate, dare I say?
Mm.
He will be utilized in that way, though. Remember the same case I gave you for CMC last year?
Yeah.
He will be the offense in the running game. He will be the offense in the passing game.
Yeah. Listen, man, I remember, I'll never forget, and one of the reasons why you like the Detroit Lions is because they have St. Brown. I went on your show about 1.5 years ago, and you were like, yo, he's a top 5 wide receiver. I called you crazy. And all he's done is been a top 5 wide receiver ever since. So hats off to you.
You're
ahead of your time. I said, when all the coaches got fired, the Atlanta Falcons was the best available job for any head coach. And this was before they got Kirk Cousins. Because if you look at it, above average offensive line, their defense is still young and up and coming. They have some playmakers on their defense. I love the corner that they have. Not Terrell. What's his name? Is it Terrell?
No.
I'm blanking. Can you look up the corners that they have? I'm blanking right now. But
A.J. Terrell.
A.J. Terrell, yeah. A.J. Terrell, yeah. He's like, he reminds me of Janoris Jenkins. Like, depending on when you watch him, it'll be how you'll judge him.
Mm-hmm.
But I like corners that try to get interceptions. And I know 2 years ago he was really great. And the cornerback position kind of fluctuates. Like, 1 year you're amazing, the next year you get picked on. But with the Atlanta Falcons, right, I said it was the best available job because up-and-coming defense, the division sucked, great tight end, great wide receiver, great running back, and great as being, like, very friendly, but
right.
Really promising and young. Right, uh-huh. We haven't seen the ceiling. All they needed was a quarterback. They got Kirk Cousins. Say what you want about Kirk Cousins, bro. He's good enough to get you into the playoffs. After that, kind of fucks it up. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of dudes in the league. Not everyone's going to be Burrow and Mahomes. Like, Cowboys have the same issue. Miami has the same issue. There's a lot of teams that have those same issues. But when you look at their schedule, and again, the schedules are out in the sense of who you're going to play. It's when you're going to play that you're not really sure of. Dude, their schedule is not that difficult. Like, their away games are at the Raiders, at Philly, at Commanders, at Minnesota, revenge game. Mm-hmm. And obviously you have the games in division. And then you have Cowboys, Giants, Chiefs, Chargers, Seahawks, Steelers at home. Tough games, but they're at home.
Right.
And they have a lot of games indoors because, like, the Saints game is indoors. Raiders game is indoors. Tampa, depending on when it is, it's going to be nice weather. And then you got Minnesota. So it's like, it's kind of the same way I felt about the Saints last year is how I'm probably going to feel about Atlanta this year.
I think it's a very accurate representation. I think Raheem Morris he fell into a gold mine, bro. And it's the perfect situation for a city that just needs stability in some regard. I always feel like a team in Atlanta should be like up there with the Lakers or like the New York Yankees of the world. Like, it's a premier city that you are just waiting for sports to be good. You remember when the Atlanta Hawks had their little run in like the late 2010s and, you know, you had like a sense of like, damn, this city is popping. They've been waiting ever since those Atlanta Hawk days to kind of have something happy to cheer about. The last real success they ever had with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Do you think you could see the same thing with Kyle Pitts and Kirk Cousins?
Pitts with London, with Bijan in the backfield. Just because I'm not a fan of them drafting a running back when they did doesn't mean that the running back isn't good.
Right.
Like, both things could be true.
No, he was a stud. For the position that Bijan was thrown into last year, and I mean, dare I say, there was things behind closed doors that we never heard about as to why he didn't play more that one game. Remember, everyone went crazy.
Yeah, he played like one snap. Yeah.
One snap, and everybody's unders cashed, you know, including Arthur Smith's. Thank God that went through for him, because now he's paycheckless.
And, dude, they had Desmond Ridder, too, who we've accused of point shaving also. Paul Crewe.
He is
Paul
the Crewe Paul
from
Crewe.
The longest yard. That's Desmond Ridder, because there was a lot of questionable decisions for, like, a month straight that he was doing, bro, just, like, fumbling at the goal line.
He had more turnovers than, like, eight teams combined in a two-week span.
Yeah, he got benched, like, twice.
Yeah.
He got benched twice. So they now have Kirk Cousins. That was one that jumped out to me. Then to continue this list, you have the Houston Texans 9.5, Jets 9.5, 8.5. You have Bears, Browns, Colts, Jaguars, Chargers, Rams, Steelers, Bucks, 7.5 wins. You have your Saints, Seahawks, and the Washington Commanders. 6.5 wins. You have Arizona, Vegas, the Vikings, and my New York Giants. 5.5, you have the Denver Broncos and the Tennessee Titans. And then 4.5, you have the Carolina Panthers and the New England Patriots. I think the one that doesn't surprise me at all, I think it surprises me to see them that low. But, I mean, they've been bad for a couple of years now, and I've been saying that they were actually bad when they had Tom Brady also that last year. New England now being at 4.5 is wild. It's just wild to see.
Yeah.
Because our whole lives growing up, their win total was 10.5.
On repeat.
Yeah, just on every repeat. Year. So to see them down with the Carolina Panthers, who are probably going to be the worst team in the league again this year.
Right.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. I'm betting the over.
On?
On the Patriots.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay.
How come?
I just think it's a full turning of a leaf, just like how in Atlanta's the head coach is gone and the quarterback's gone. And when you're thinking of the triad of owner, head coach, quarterback, you know, owner could stay the same in New England. Right, I think Kraft is one of a kind in saying, hey, we were shit. You know, I'm not holding this together anymore. We're moving on. And they did everything amicably.
That's a good word.
It was crazy that this is why I'm very confident on the Patriots. The Patriots hired their coach in a record time. I think it was like a 36-hour turnaround time from when we knew Bill was done to when they hired Jerron Mayo? Yes. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't butchering it up. But they had a plan set in place, so I'm already confident with that. And then they get rid of Mac Jones, which is like the final wiper hands clean.
We're done with that era.
They may move up in the draft, and they may... Dude, Michael Penix?
Well, Penix, they have a top three pick. They're third, I believe. So they'll probably get their hands on one of the three quarterbacks. I'd be shocked if they don't.
Right.
I personally like Jaden Daniels more than a lot of people. I think the playmaking, I think, is great. Penix, I don't like because he's a lefty.
Mm. Yeah.
Not a fan of lefties.
I know. You're going to become a huge fan of him when he wins you a lot of bets here this upcoming
year. Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. I want to see him go play for a team like right away. I just got to know. I don't think Jaden Daniels has that.
Mm.
It's crazy the career that Jaden Daniels had, and I'm a huge football fan, but bro, he was who is that until he was on the Heisman finalist stage?
Yeah.
And I mean, I follow football like pretty decently.
Yeah, he transferred from Arizona State.
It was a very...
And then there was the videos of his teammates being happy that he left. Kind of a red flag, too.
Super red flag.
Yeah.
Oh, dummy red flag, dude.
Yeah,
what?
That's pretty rough. It's like Draft Day. You ever watch the movie Draft Day?
Yeah.
Where he's like, how many people were at your birthday party? And like, none of his teammates. And that was the reason why he fell in the draft, because no one was at his birthday party. Is there a win total that you like? There's one that I like immediately.
Like as in... They misproportionately valued this, or
yeah, like
or is it on the nose?
You like it whether under or over, just on the surface.
I like the Cardinals over 6.5.
And no, yeah,
they played extremely tough football last year for a first year coach, not having your franchise quarterback, then trading what I thought was their new franchise quarterback halfway through the season to Minnesota. Kyler Murray comes back and they played competitive ball, bro. Like the thing that is going to be very difficult for them is they have to go through the buzzsaw, which is the 49ers twice and the Rams twice. But you know, what's their schedule looking like? Because they should be in the bottom tier of scheduling for this upcoming year. And I think, you know, it's Kyler Murray year six. It's time, dude. It's time for you to get back to what you did your rookie year. And I think it happens.
Yeah, I wonder what their schedule is. I'm trying to pull it up right now for 2024. Anytime I Google Cardinals, I have to put NFL because there's two teams, and they give me the baseball team as well in St. Louis. All right.
Go ahead.
So they also, to your point, right, one thing I always talk about when it comes to win totals, and obviously we're going to do a deeper dive as we get more information and dedicate a whole episode going through each and every one of these, record in one-score games. Very important. Very, very, very important. Strength of schedule, too. Are you playing a fourth-place schedule like the Cardinals are going to play? Are you playing a first-place schedule? And you might say, yo, it's a difference between two games, but the difference can be at Kansas City, at Baltimore, as opposed to being at Bengals. Well, even though that would be a tougher game now because Joe Burrow would be back, or playing, you know, the Titans, right? So, like, are you playing Houston this year or are you playing the Titans? Which one would you rather play?
Right.
You'd rather play the Titans as opposed to Houston. So that's very important. But yeah, their schedule, they got Jets, Commanders, Patriots, Chargers, Rams, 49ers, Seahawks, Bears at home. Then they got Packers, Vikings, Dolphins, Bills, Panthers, Rams, 49ers, Seahawks on the road. So yeah, that was one that jumped out to me. And then the other one, before we get into the people's podcast questions, dude, Chargers 8.5.
I knew you were going to say the Chargers, dude.
I mean, bro, I'm a sucker for the LA Chargers. I love Justin Herbert. I think this is the year for him. It has to be. But they have the new regime. And also, everywhere he's went, he's won immediately. And that's Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been cleaning house. He's like, yo, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen. For him to come in and be like, yo, Keenan, good luck on your future endeavors. That's wild, bro, because that's a fan favorite. Dude's been there for a decade. He's coming off a career year. So for him to do that, he's showing you that it's a new regime. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to clean house. And he's helped quarterbacks a lot. He gave Alex Smith a chance at a big contract when he went to the Chiefs. He obviously had Colin Kaepernick. Shit, J.J. McCarthy might be a top five pick out of nowhere. Like, this dude all of a sudden now, shout out to his PR team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, talk about fucking give him a raise. That PR team has been amazing during the whole draft process because now he's like a top five pick. So it's something that he does right away. And that was one that jumped out to me because also they're going to play a pretty bad schedule too.
Right.
They're going to play a last place schedule.
Yeah. And the AFC West has got four lollipops for games in the Raiders and the Broncos. Now, I would like to see the way that their offense is shaped because every year that I've seen the Chargers with Justin Herbert, it's way too much out of shotgun. And I think Harbaugh goes in there and he changes them to more of a pro style, hand the ball off 25 times a game and take the pressure off of Justin Herbert. That to me is a Chargers team that will have a 10 win record. But if you keep trying to do this fucking Kellen Moore, is Kellen Moore still the OC?
I don't think so. I think he left.
I would imagine that he got rid of him. Yeah. There's just no way that I see Justin Herbert succeeding in the NFL in that spread type of offensive style anymore.
He's actually the offensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow. That makes a little more sense for that type of play style with Jalen Hurts. But yeah, dude, totally. I'm excited to see what the Chargers do this year because either they're going to make you extremely happy and I'm going to get to see like how you were when you were in love with Andrew Luck, but with Justin Herbert, or he's going to break your heart. And like, I just can't wait for you to, my favorite thing that you do on shows is when you have the laptop in front of you, you close the laptop and you're like, all right, look, listen to me, people. And then you're going to go on a breakup rant with Justin Herbert.
Yeah,
this is good.
It's close, man. It's close. Look, we call them Jay Cutler 2.0, and we gotta turn it around. Jay Herbo, we gotta turn it around, bro. Like, how many? You don't got that many people like me in your life. And this is a problem. You wear number 10. You wear number 10. You're Sunshine from...
Remember the Titans?
Remember the Titans, right? Come on, man. You got 250 mil. We got to get some W's. Don't break my heart like Andrew did, because he did. And then he retired on me.
Oh. Preseason.
He's broken my heart twice. Because when he was supposed to come out in 2019, he went back to Eugene. The New York Giants sent so many people to go and scout Oregon, and he went back to college to play with his brother, which I understand. Yeah, I'm an only child, but if I had a chance to play with my brother, probably go do that. I think it'd be cool. Wouldn't it be cool if you and your brother were on the same offensive line?
I told Junior I still have a year of eligibility left if Petrino's looking for, I don't know, some speed on the outside.
Maybe a long snapper? They don't get hit.
No. Not the way I play long snapper. I go down and make tackles.
Go down and make tackles.
Hey, great protection. Go finish the play.
Well, basically, Herbert, what we're saying is just be better, bro.
That's it.
Since we're not asking for too much. Just be better.
Yeah. And if that doesn't happen, Coach Harbaugh is going to grill your ass in the most comical of ways on NFL Sundays on the sideline. I'm here for it. I am here for that. He's going to yell at these NFL players like they're college kids until one of them, you know, you don't do that with a D tackle.
I think the owner's going to come down and be like, yo, bro.
Hey, this ain't Michigan anymore, brother.
This guy's making 19 mil. We got to. Yeah. He ain't no red shirting.
He's
getting the bag.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
George, I think this is the first time that I do this with you. People's podcast questions. I got a lot of questions, mostly from the Discord, because the people on the Discord are Patreon members. But we also got some from Instagram and some from Twitter.
This is dope. I told you. I was like, your community that you've built is just, it's crazy, dude.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. Shout out to all of you guys that sent in questions. We got a good amount of questions. A lot more this time than the last time I did a People's Podcast. So it's cool to see people want to get their questions answered and have picked on here. Okay, let's start with this. What is one team that is not your favorite team that you always end up watching no matter how they are in the sport? This is from No Show Thomas in the Discord. Meaning, even if they're trash, you're still watching them.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of threw a remix to this. I was thinking players more so than teams.
Got you.
Because I'm kind of watching everybody anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I'll go out of my way to watch certain players.
I do this with basketball.
Yes.
Like, I think basketball, because NFL, I'm going to watch every game. Like, I don't know. But with basketball, I don't feel obligated. Since I am a West Coast guy, I'll kick us off. I love watching the Sacramento Kings. Like, literally the last 2 years, if I see a Kings game on TV, I'm clicking onto it. Light the beam. I think De'Aaron Fox is, dare I say, one of the fastest basketball players I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
Just fun to watch. You know? And he's calculated with it, too. He's not like John Morant, where he's going to, like... He will elevate on you, but he's more so, like... pushing the ball in transition, I've rarely seen it done as fast as he's able to do it.
Nah, he's a beast for sure. We'll get to John Morant in a little because we got a question there. I think for me, the one team I like watching, or player I should say, is obviously Mahomes. Obviously it's Burrow. But outside of NFL, I'll give you some from like a soccer standpoint. I love watching Vinicius Jr. He's Brazilian, plays for Real Madrid. Mm. He's one of my favorite players. He's young. He's like 23, 24 years old. He's like the future of Brazil. He's nasty. In the NBA, it's Luka.
Yeah.
It's Jokic. I also like watching the most like random, like I like guys off the bench. Like the Knicks got this guy, McBride, comes off the bench and like he'll have these like random, you know, like Obi Toppin used to be dope when he played with the Knicks.
Yep.
It's like a guy that the crowd gets behind and like the dunkers. But for me, I would say it's probably Luka. And now I'm invested because I bet them to win the title because of the odds that I got on them.
Yeah.
But Luka is definitely that dude.
It's so funny that when you were listing off the players, I just thought about it. I was like, I watch De'Aaron Fox because of how good he plays. But as far as crowd reaction and for bad play, I love watching Russell Westbrook.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's no player that gets more frustrated after missing. Like, when he misses jumpers, too, that shit clanks, dude. He's shooting the ball so hard. And I went to a game last year when he was playing for the Lakers. And the boos that came in when he was playing, bro, was nuts.
Well, I was talking about on the show with Josh earlier this week. If you guys haven't checked that out, please go and check that out. But I was talking about how the worst thing that Westbrook does every game is hit his first jump shot because then he thinks that he's feeling it. And facts. Then it's no game one over. Shoots their team out of games more than him.
100%. And I love to watch it. I love to watch it. So add him to my list. De'Aaron Fox and Russell Westbrook.
Well, dude, as much as I hated it because I had bet Harden to win MVP that year he got the triple-double and won MVP was special because he was on one.
Yeah.
And also a guy that's always on one, Anthony Edwards.
Oh, my
gosh. He's another dude that I would say I love watching also. So I know, Thomas, I took your question and I kind of put a little spin on it. It's more so players for me than it is teams. Because sometimes, you know, my teams suck.
Right.
So I'm watching them anyway. So that's why you're talking to someone that's a Mets and Knicks fan and it's been pain for many, many years. This one's a little bit more personal. If time and money weren't an issue, what hobby would you get into? This is Chris93 in the Discord.
Mm. I would play golf every day for the rest of my life. If money was no issue, I'd be at Augusta. It's kind of like a dream of mine to go into a country club. And don't worry, we're going to have this experience this year. We're going to go to a nice golf course, Nick. I'm going to show you where these fucking rich white people, like, they get their name on a placard. And
when's your birthday?
July 12th.
July 12th. Maybe we'll hit the Wynn course.
Shut the fuck up, Nick. Nick, you can't just say that.
For your birthday.
You can't just say that. You know how exclusive that course is?
Yeah, but you know who you're talking to? Come on, man.
Man, dude, because if you do that for me, now I got to buy you like a Lambrie. That's the equivalent of getting you a Lambo.
What am I going to do? Here's the thing.
I buy you a plane ticket to Colombia, one way. You got to
that. I won't say no.
You get the girl to pay for your flight back.
Listen.
When you're ready.
We ain't coming back. It's one way for a reason. All right. I've told people this all the time, and this could be a people's podcast question. Fellas, if your girl ever breaks up with you and she breaks your heart, just go to Colombia. You'll be okay.
That's true.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I've said too much. George, we've said too much.
Yeah.
But also, to your point, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not someone that, and I learned this lesson many, many years ago, because one of my friends, Mike, he's been on the show before. I think Lazy to Savage. Was it you that I did the show with him?
I don't think so.
Videographer. It might have been Josh. I think it was Josh. But he's been on the show before. Shouts to Mike. He's the one that got me into golf also. There was one summer, I'm a big wrestling fan, like WWE. He took me to SummerSlam, took me to NXT, was in Brooklyn and all this stuff. And with this other girl, Jen, who they were working with a very prominent wrestler at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they like hooked me up with all this shit. And at one point I turned to him, I was like, dude, I can never repay you with this. Like, I don't think there's money I could give you to, he's like, bro, it's not that. He's like, I like being around you. And sometimes there's no monetary value that you could put on that.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, I don't buy people things or give people things expecting something in return.
Right. Right.
That's how you build relationships.
It's truth. It's truth. I mean, you definitely feel like you're obligated in some way, shape, or form if that person ever needs you. But you do it out of the kindness of your heart. It's not like it's...
You're not expecting it. And correct. Like, yo, and also, dude, correct. I'm so low-key, bro. Like, look, taking you to the wing course is expensive, even with the hookup.
Yeah.
But, like, the type of guy that I am, if we went to get pizza mm-hmm. and you just paid for it, like, to me, personally, that's equal value. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's agreed. The gesture.
Agreed.
I talked about how I had a friend of mine stayed at my crib a whole weekend. I paid for fucking everything, bro. And the last day, we go to get beers and barbecue. And it was, like, $23. He asked me to Venmo him. That upset me.
Yeah.
That upset me. It's like, bro, I just spent hundreds of dollars on our whole experience, which I wasn't mad about. I became mad when I felt like that wasn't appreciated.
Right, right.
Does
right.
that make sense what I'm yeah. saying? And I know people listening to this are probably like, fucking Kyle, right? Like, there's a guy that you've done this for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the case. And that's to me is what sucks. So like, I correct. Never look at it as, oh, dude, yeah. I got you a $200 jersey. You got to get me now something of equal value. That's just me, though. Some people might 100%. Be like, oh, dude, but I got you a fucking so-and-so for your birthday.
You just got to be, like, careful with it. Like, you wouldn't do that if you were halfway between, you know, our friendship. You would be like, I'm not too sure about this George guy, but oh, hey, yeah, come to this win club. I'm gonna like, you're not going to do that.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, like, we've been friends for a while. You help out with the show. People like having you on the show. We have good chemistry together. I tell you all my plans, as crazy as they are. You're like, I can't wait. Like, that means a lot to me, too. Because I have people that I tell them my plans, and they laugh at it. But then I have people like you that I tell them my plans, and they fucking, like, yo, let's fucking go, bro. I can't wait. You know what I'm saying? So, you said golf.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't want to sound corny. It's what I'm doing now, bro.
Oh, that is a bit of a... I'm glad you said... I don't mean to sound corny before that because I was about to cry. Are you laughing?
Bro, I mean, dude, I literally, I'm living my legit dream life. No bullshit. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to sell you on a master course or anything like that. Like, this is legit.
That's good.
I train and lift in the mornings to keep this mid-ass physique that I have. I do jiu-jitsu every single day for the most part. I have a day dedicated to playing FIFA with the boys. I create my own content, and I produce and create other content for other people. All I ever wanted from day one of starting this shit back in 2015, I want to be able to tell people when they ask me, what do I do for a living? I create content, and I could tell them that. That's all I've ever wanted. And that's why I also think that I've become successful in this, because it goes back. I went on a rant on my Instagram earlier this week, for those of you guys listening to the show now, and I was talking about, like, yo, my number one rule in anything I do, if I genuinely enjoy what I'm doing, I'll figure it out on the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's real shit, man. Like, what I'm doing now, like, yeah, it's expensive paying for the memberships and shit, but I'm still doing it. And I have the luxury with my schedule and, like, the work that I do.
Right.
No complaints. And I know people got it way worse, so I can't complain.
I'm glad where you took that. I mean, you could have went anywhere. And you were like, just living my same old life. Can I make one for you, just based on?
Sure, yeah. From you knowing me.
Oh, dude, I would let you go to every single WWE event, like box suites everywhere around the country, around the globe. That's what I want for you.
What I do want to do one year is go to every pay per view for UFC and wrestling. Try to coordinate that.
Ooh.
That'd be a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
But I do want to go. I want to do one NFL season, which might be possible after today.
Great meeting.
Fantastic meeting. I want to go to every football stadium in one season, every single one, and just coordinate. And there'll be some days where, like, bro, we'll go to Baltimore on Sunday, and then we'll go to Philly.
Yeah, no, you. That's Monday. That's a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That is a lot.
But there might be money on the way to make it happen. Fingers crossed. We've said enough.
Great meeting. It was a great meeting, ladies and gentlemen.
Shout out to Chris in the Discord for sending that question. Okay, another one. Best sports moment of all time, in your opinion? This is from Mass Rosati.
Okay, and I'm willing to take the L on this because it, you can't just have the best sports moments be when your team did good.
Mm.
The Minneapolis Miracle has got to be the greatest fucking play in NFL history.
Damn, that's against your
squad. That's against my squad, but every time... Dude, I remember vividly, it was a Christmas Eve, right? No.
No, it was a playoff game.
I know it was a playoff game, so...
It was in January.
It was something to do. I had some sort of event with my family. Yes.
Wedding. Okay.
Because I was with my family and we were watching it, and I was just so certain, and I was fucking gloating and all the shit, and then it just happened in front of my eyes, and I crumbled to the floor. I literally, like, I've never acted like such a bitch in front of my family before in my life. Like, I saw Stephon Diggs catch, the missed tackle, the sprint, the throw the helmet, and I just remember, as soon as he threw the helmet, I collapsed to my knees. You would have thought it was like an episode of Sopranos. Like, it was just, like, extra slow-mo dramatic. That's the greatest sports moment in NFL history.
Wow.
Or in sports history. I'll say it.
Damn. You know what's crazy? My boy Steph, shouts to Steph on Twitter today, was posting the Mario Manningham catch in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
The second Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Dude, that throw by Eazy-E. Eli Manning. God, do I miss you. I apologize for everything I said at the tail end, but buddy, do I miss you. That throw that Eli made to Manningham, I was there live.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I stood up and I was like, yeah, I think he caught it. And then they showed the replay. I was like, hey, fuck it. I'm hammered,
right,
by the way.
Right.
I'm tanked. I'm tanked. Madonna did the halftime show. And my mom is like, oh you got to Vogue. You got to do all this shit. I was like, bro, we're down. The Pats are getting the ball, right? All I heard all week was the Pats like to defer to the second half, and they like to go on a four-minute offense, score right before halftime, and then it's a 14-point swing. That's all I was thinking about. I was like, fuck Madonna. Fuck the Vogue. Fuck all that shit. We dominated the first half, and we're down. That's what I was thinking. And I was at that game, bro, and I was fucking tanked. But I'm yelling, he caught that. Throw the flag, you fuck. I was going crazy. And then they reviewed it, and it was a catch. That was the sickest. I think that was my favorite moment in person.
Okay.
That one was fucking. But then I got the helmet catch too, bro.
You were there in person for that one?
Yeah, I went to both Super Bowls.
Yeesh.
The helmet catch too. But my favorite sports moment, though, I'm going to describe a game.
Okay.
I'm going to pick a game. And I just watched the Messi documentary on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, the FIFA World Cup final in 2022.
I'm not a soccer guy, but I like that, dude.
Bro, think about this, right?
Like, it captured the globe.
It captured the globe, right? How many times, bro, have we went into a UFC fight, a matchup in the NFL, any sport, you know, Curry versus Tatum or whatever, LeBron versus Curry, and then it's a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, it was Messi versus Mbappe, and it delivered. Like, both guys had fucking wild. Like, Mbappe really scored 4 goals in that game.
Right.
He had a hat trick, and then he scored his penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then Messi delivered in that game. And just like the swing of emotion, they're up 2-0 at halftime. They're cruising. France looks dead beat until the 75th minute. And then they score 2 goals in 90 seconds, Mbappe.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know, you're like, holy shit, the whole world was rooting against France because they wanted Messi to win. Like, to me,
right,
that is my favorite. And I said it when it happened. I was like, yo, I know we're prisoners of the moment. That's why I'm glad that this was 18 months ago. Dude, I think that's the greatest sports, my favorite sports game that I've watched, and my favorite sports memory of all time.
You talking about it right now gave me chills throughout my whole body, because I was at a breakfast watching that game, and it was every single worker in that cafe stopped what they were doing and they went and watched. And like they were all speaking in Spanish and shit too. So I was picking up on the lingo, and I was like, and that's why it gives me chills, dude, because very rarely do you get to capture the entire globe, like we're talking about. Like, there wasn't a single person in the world that didn't know about that game and the importance.
And what's crazy, and why I think soccer, as I've gotten older, and even though it's my first love, soccer is the greatest sport on this planet, because literally everyone in Argentina Inn in France was not doing dick that morning or that night, wherever it was, time zones, but watching that game. It's like everybody was aware of what happened. We're like, here in the U.S., we don't get that experience. Even when the U.S. men's national team or the women's national team, they go on these runs, people don't care because in America, we're not all American, where everyone in Argentina is Argentinian. Everyone in France is French. And there's just a unity there, bro, that, bro, there were 2 million people at Buenos Aires for just celebrating. The team wasn't even there yet. Like, bro, that's the greatest sport on the planet.
And you're going to tell me that that wasn't the most watched thing and the 1969 moon landing was.
Let's go. We're back to the moon landing, bro. That's a George Peoples podcast. He got that. All right, we got a couple more here before we got to wrap. can Ja Morant be the face of the NBA?
No.
I say no also, and it has nothing to do with his talent because he's amazing. I think he's my number one pick to go see in person.
Correct. Yeah. You said what you call it
blank check.
Yep. If I had a blank check, I'm gonna go watch him. Agreed. Can he be the face? Yeah, dude. If Adam Silver wasn't the commissioner anymore and fucking Chief Keef became the commissioner of the NBA, yeah, Ja Morant will be the logo. That's not happening.
Yeah, it's all the off the court stuff. Like the talent himself is not an issue at all.
No.
Like dude goes to put people on fucking like chalk them out when he goes to dunk on them. Like, he goes crazy with it.
Yeah.
And he's the most explosive player probably in the league, too. And that's why it's so unfortunate with everything happening off the court. But to answer your question, Ty, I don't think he could be the face. Not because of his on-court, it's the off-court stuff.
He would have to win 3 titles and, like go through a name change like Ron Artest did to possibly have a chance.
He would have to do a lot. He would have to do a lot. Have a clean sweep of no issues for a foreseeable amount of time, and you know, whether it's donating or community service or things like that, you know, like
end gun violence in Chicago, you're the face of the NBA after what
your boy
bang.
All right, last couple here. Equal number of attempts get a hit off an average reliever in the MLB or complete a 5-yard pass in the NFL. Mullen 1031.
Mullen 1031. I would for sure be able to complete a pass. I've actually had dreams about this, like where I have the helmet on and everything. Get the guys in a 5-yard pass.
Yeah,
definitely doable. If it was like 10 yards, I'm not gonna lie. Like with the pads and everything, and being able to throw it over a defense, I don't think it happens. It would be a slant.
And it would have to be something quick. Like, you ain't doing no 7-step drop back.
I may play action just to make sure the window's open. It's got to be a good fake here so the linebacker stays for a second. Then when I'm out, bomb. And I'm a lefty. So I want to be rolling out to the left.
Oh, you got to be rolling out.
Oh, yeah. There's no way you're staying in the pocket.
You are not staying in the pocket. Listen, I'm doing a little play action. I'm doing a little RPO.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, this is how I complete a pass. And to answer your question, I could 100% complete a 5-yard pass in the NFL. Now, listen, swing pass, my running back does the rest of the work. The old Eli Manning play, 3rd and 8, we throw it to the running back in the backfield. It's still a 5-yard pass.
True.
Right? The New York Giants offense was slant to Odell 70 yards. Eli Manning got 70 passing yards, but it wasn't really 70 yards.
Right.
What I'm doing is I'm in shotgun, 2 running backs either side. Right, running back comes in motion, goes behind me. What's up? RPO, fake it, quick screen pass.
I like it.
Bam, you can get 5 yards. And if you can't pull the
guard.
And if you don't get the 5 yards, you blame the running back. Bro, you're gonna get 5 yards. What are you doing?
It was open field, bro.
We're trying to get this accomplishment that the fans are asking.
We're literally skipping over the fact that even an average middle reliever would just smoke our ass, bro. Like I don't even think I touched the ball. Yo, it's been that long.
Did you ever play baseball?
Yeah. I was first team all conference, first baseman. I wasn't bad. 2 home runs in my high school career. Fucking, they called me Dinger Man.
Shit, it took me 4 months to get a legitimate hit. I batted 9.
That's tough.
I was good. I played first base. I had a pretty good glove. My team was stacked my senior year, but I made a bet with 2 of my buddies. They come out for the football team. I'll try out for baseball. The don't let the belly fool you. I was a stud athlete, so I picked it up really quickly. Mm-hmm. And first base was relatively easy, but it was also the only position on the field that they didn't have. So it was like, yo, try out for first base. It's not that difficult.
Yeah. It's the most action in the infield.
Started. Yeah, getting a lot of work. A lot of work.
Little scoops.
Pick. But, dude, it took. I started training with the team in December, like all season. I think I got my first hit April.
Holy shit.
And also, like, end of April.
They kept letting you, like, go up to bat?
I was just batting ninth, bro.
What was your, like, because I hate this. Because you don't have to deal with it when you're in the cage. But wearing a batting helmet. Difficult, dude. Because, like, when you swing the bat hard, like, the helmet would, like, move and fucking block your eyesight. You're really just guessing. I know it was a loose helmet. We were a poor school. We had to get the helmet that was available. We would have players that would swing and their fucking helmet would go flying off.
You got what you got. God. And you dealt with it. That's all that you were
we
having.
We would have had such a better batting average as a team had we been able to see the ball.
Dude, you're talking to someone that went to New York City public schools. We had the most shit equipment ever. Like, we would have to, bro, I remember when I played football, dude, we would have to, like, either buy our own stuff or we would have to hope that, like, the new equipment that they would send was not, like, used. And it was like, yo, the thigh pad, like, half of it didn't work because it was, like, broken and shit. It was a mess, bro. It was so bad. And we had to pay to, like, play, too, because you just had to – the school couldn't afford the equipment. So you had to pay, like, yo, I think it was, like, $200
That's
to,
nuts.
Like, get the rentals for the stuff. Yeah, it was a mess. But I think I could definitely complete a pass in the NFL for 5 yards.
Agreed.
All right, last question. Thoughts on betting the NFL draft from Mike Wozniak?
I've seen that you can find some good value on the on picking positions, like what positions is going to be taken in what slot, because you can, like, really look at the needs. But, like, I haven't done a deep dive analysis. There is value there, especially if you, like, have your pulse on Twitter and, like, you're, like, pretty active and reading the reports and everything. You can definitely find an edge.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is also something that sports books, for the most part, put a limit on because insider information.
100%.
Chicago's a bad example because we know they're taking Caleb Williams. But let's say we knew someone at the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
Buddy of ours we went to college with, maybe we grew up, and maybe he's the assistant manager.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, totally made up story. For real. I'm not trying to protect anyone. Yo, bro, we're going to take Marvin Harrison. Yeah, how you know? I'm in the locker room, guarantee, promise. Okay. You know what I'm going to do. I'm going to bet Marvin Harrison. I can't go up to a sports book and be like, yo, I want $100K on Marvin Harrison. They're going to be like,
excuse me.
What do you know?
Right.
We ain't taking that. Right. Limit is $500.
Right.
$100. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, that's what happens. The same thing with the Super Bowl. I've told this story. I knew what the weekend halftime show song was going to be.
Right.
And it leaked out. It ended up being the favorite. And that's the song that it was. I know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, and they told me. So those are bets that are called, like, novelty bets, exotic bets, where there's a limit on it. And most of the times, like, I'm pretty sure BetMGM don't take Super Bowl halftime song.
Nope.
They don't. They want box score bets is what I've called.
That's a very interesting question, because I want to go take a look here before the draft happens to see if I can, I don't know, snipe on some long shots. Like you said, McCarthy's been on a steady rise. Wouldn't Crazy. Be surprised if he went early.
It's been wild. I'm looking at it right now, and he is -150 to be a top five pick.
Wow.
That's nuts.
It was not like that about a month ago.
Nah, it was like 20-1. That's why I said earlier in the show, his PR team is... amazing. He's a raise. Been fantastic. All right, George, let's wrap up. Thank you all for the questions. Thank you all for sending another installment of the People's Podcast.
Those were good questions.
Rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. Please share the content on social media. Tell your friends that you're listening. And watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/veteransminimum. Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn. Shout out to LinkedIn.
Yep.
Facebook, the whole nine. It's Veterans Minimum. Just look it up. You'll find it. At Nick Day, as tender as you can find me. And like I said, all things Veterans Minimum are at Veterans Minimum. George.
At Mr. George Carmona is where you could find me. We got the Action Junkies. Let me rephrase that. The Junkies Network, 5th annual 24-hour live stream happening April 12th, 5 a.m. Go subscribe to the Junkies Network. It's going to be an extravaganza. And Nick, this is my formal invitation since I have 2 hours on the show. Would you like to participate in the Gridiron Junkies portion of the Junkies Network live stream?
Yeah. Well, hold on. What time? have me here at 5 a.m. I ain't doing it.
No, 1 to 3.
Okay. I can do that. It's in between the middle of my day, jujitsu and whatnot. Yeah, let's do it.
So you definitely want to subscribe to that so you can see Nick, because we're doing football competitions.
And we'll make sure that we tag everything on there. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Peace.
In his element, I'm a gold medalist, bronze like your medal is. So many deer in headlights, but it's bedtime. Hear that supper bell, main course, beat of venison.
Zab, most dangerous game. Either kill or be killed.